Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
Novel research into Parkinson's disease and how it can be diagnosed by scent. By scent will be presented on Wednesday evening in Maynooth University. Professor Perdita Baran, who is chair of mass spectrometry in the Department of Chemistry at the University of Manchester, will explain the fascinating story of how her research was inspired by a woman who said that people with Parkinson's have a different scent to the general population. Professor Perdita Baran joins me now. You're very welcome, Professor, to the programme.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on.
And I can't wait to hear the fascinating story behind it, because I've heard some of the detail. But I have to ask you, first of all, what is mass spectrometry and how is it used here?
Okay, well, it's a good question. And just in really simple terms, like what I say to a taxi driver, we weigh molecules. So we have big machines and we weigh very, very tiny things, which are molecules. And by weighing them in our big machines, we can find out what they are.
Okay, well done to the taxi drivers who can understand that. You might text me what it means. Tell me then the story behind this research, because it's unbelievable really that you can diagnose Parkinson's by a scent, but this is down to a woman called Joy Milne.
That's right, yeah. So Joy Milne is an amazing woman, and she has a very, very good sense of smell. But she also had a very interesting thing happened to her when she was quite young, which was that her husband, when he was in his early 30s, they'd been together actually since they were 16, but in his early 30s, he started to smell differently to her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she said what wives say to their husbands, that she thought he should wash more. And he didn't take too kindly to this. Yeah. He was a consultant anaesthetist. He's working in closed theatre. And she thought, you know, maybe it was just all getting a bit close in there. Anyway, the smell continued, and she didn't, you know, she just put up with it. Many years later, about 12 years later, when he was only 44, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And that was a really devastating thing for them, for him, for their family of three young boys at the time. And he was treated and life carried on in a way. And after some time, he could no longer work. And so they moved there actually from Scotland, but they were working near where I am in Manchester, actually. They started going to groups where there were other people who had Parkinson's disease. And Joy made the observation that mm-hmm. they all smelt like her husband.
Okay, so she then went to a colleague of yours and she said, why don't you research the smell of Parkinson's patients, because yeah. they have a certain smell. And I think you took yeah. exception to that when that was suggested to you to yeah. research that initially.
Yeah, I was really, so my colleague, so she went to a talk given by my colleague, a bit like the one I'm going to give on Wednesday at Maynooth, and she sort of questioned him and said, why aren't you doing this? And he was a bit taken aback by it, but he rang me up because I'm his analytical chemistry colleague, and he said, could I do that? And I said, well, I could, but I don't think she must just be seeing the movement symptoms of people with Parkinson's and associating with those the smell of her husband. So I thought she was just making an association. Well, he had met her and she's a force of nature. And so we kind of argued about this a bit, and we came up with a plan to see whether I was right or she was right.
Is this a T-shirt test, Perdita?
Uh-huh,
tell them about the T-shirt test.
So we needed to have Joy smelling the smell of Parkinson's without seeing the person, right? So we just did a really simple thing, which was to get some people with Parkinson's to wear T-shirts overnight and then take them off. We put them in bags and we took them to Joy along with some T-shirts from people who didn't have Parkinson's. And we took these to Joy, so they're nowhere near any of the people with Parkinson's, and we gave them to her to smell. And she was 100% right in the people who had Parkinson's. Wow. She was able to completely identify them. In fact, even better, we'd cut the T-shirts in half and she was able to not only identify them in both halves, but to put the person back together.
My God. And I think she got one wrong, but that person turned out to have Parkinson's a few months later. So tell me, this test that you've come up with then, am I reading correctly that it's around 97% accurate in terms of diagnosis?
Yeah, so in our lab, we're now able, if we take 100 samples from people with Parkinson's and 100 with people without, we would be correct in predicting Parkinson's in 97% of those people. And that's much better than a clinician can do. That's better. But what we now need to do is see if people live in the regular technician in the hospital lab who is also using mass spectrometry to a little heel prick assay that's used for babies to see if they have metabolic disorders. That's all done by mass spectrometry. And we want to see if those same individuals, those technicians in hospitals, can do the same as us. So that's the stage we're at now.
Well, I never thought, Professor Perdita Baran, that I'd be far more curious about mass spectrometry than I would was 5 or 10 minutes ago. And good luck at the talk on, it's a lecture you're giving in Maynooth this Wednesday at 6:30 on your Parkinson's research. It's free, but it's ticketed, and tickets are available on Eventbrite, I'm told. You can just Google Parkinson's Event Maynooth University. Professor Perdita Baran, thank you very much indeed.